All right, if you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's just dive right in this morning. We want to start with verse 16. This morning we're going to be talking about faith. Specific faith. We can have faith in anything, but I'm talking about a faith that is wrapped up, tied up solely in Jesus. And so this faith that we're talking about, the Bible calls it in Ephesians, calls it the shield of faith. All right, we've been talking about the loin belt, which is the belt of truth, that it's being the center point of a soldier's uniform. And then we see that also there is the breastplate of righteousness. We see that we talked about the shoes that are in preparation with the readiness of peace on them as well. We talked about this today about the shield of faith in verse 16. Let's look at it. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:16, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Father, I thank you for your word that delivers us, that transforms us. It sets our feet on sure ground. It protects us. It causes us to advance against the enemy. It causes us to know who we are in Christ Jesus. It tells us that we're healed and delivered and set free. I thank you for your word that is overwhelming to us, God. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And Father, we commit to hiding your word in our heart, God, so that we would not so deceive ourselves, but Lord, that so that we can know the word of truth, so that we can stand up on it when the enemy throws his fiery darts our way. And so today, this day, I ask for your anointing upon my words, upon my heart this morning. And I pray, Father, for your anointing upon each and every person that is in this room. I pray, Father, that you would deal with the hearts of each and every one of us today as we listen and study your word. In the name of Jesus, amen. So Ephesians 6:16 says this, in addition to all of this, in addition to the belt of truth, to the breastplate of righteousness, putting your shoes on, it's got those spikes on the bottom of it that causes you to stand when you're being pushed back by the enemy. He says, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows the enemy throws at you. All right? Now, as I was studying for this, I realized that in a Roman soldier's garments that he puts on, one of the things that I realized was that there's two different shields that he possesses. Number one, there's a shield that is ornate, that's beautiful, that is light, that will not help in the battle. This shield is superficial. It's good for parades. It's good for special events. It's good for dignitaries. It's good for show. There's that shield. Now, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are masquerading around in that shield. They look good. They play the part. They know what to say, when to say it. They know how to sing. They know how to raise their hands. They know how to give. They know how to come to church. They're good at it. But their faith is superficial because they've yet to go into the battle. Does that make sense? Now, there's another shield the Bible's talking about, which if in the book of Ephesians in 16, this is exactly what this shield is talking about. This shield is big. This shield is large. This shield is like a door. It protects you. It is a shield that will protect you when the enemy throws his fiery flaming darts at your life. So in order for us to preserve our faith and for our faith to grow, we must put down the superficial shield, get out of the parade, and get into the fight. Amen? Hey, I like parades. Especially when they throw candy and stuff, all right? I'll push little kids out of the way. I just want candy, all right? Now, this massive shield of the Roman soldiers rests on a small clip that's attached to the belt of truth that we talked about. The loin belt represents the Word of God. Attached to that loin belt is the shield, which represents our faith. So What this means is, and if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Your faith is attached to the word. Let me say that again. Your faith is attached to the word. If your faith is attached to anything else but the word, you are setting yourself up for failure. Amen? In our lives, we can attach ourselves to anything. Have you ever seen someone that is maybe on a movie where you see someone playing like they're drowning, and there's a scene, it's chaotic. The person, matter of fact, they teach you when you're going through, if you want to be a lifeguard, not to directly go and hold on to someone that is drowning. Why is that? They will drown you. They will place their hands and attach themselves anywhere they possibly can, and before you know it, both of you are in trouble. And so we can attach ourselves to anything, especially when we feel desperate, right? When we feel like that there's nothing else to cling on, you start grabbing for anything. We need to understand that the Word of God is our lifeline. That without the Word, there can be no true faith, only faith in self. And we know that faith in self will embarrass us every time. Now, if you fail to give the Word of God a high place in your life, then your faith will begin to dwindle, because the presence or absence of faith is determined by the presence and absence of the Word. Amen? Your faith cannot build or go higher unless it's first has its foundation in the Word of God. It's like trying to build a house on the beach. It just cannot be done unless you go down and hit bedrock, right? They bring in these massive drills that drill down deep until they hit stone. And it's not until they hit stone that they begin to put those pillars down there so that they can pour the concrete inside it, so that there's a base to build your house upon. And the only way that a believer can build their life is not on the sinking sand of themselves or on the sinking sand of this life, but on the solid rock of the Word of God. Amen? Because nothing else will matter. Now, here's what happens when you build your house upon the sand. It looks good for a little while. I would love to go visit it. But the first test, when the rain comes in, when the tide rolls in, the house will begin to crumble and fall. Amen? The house will begin to obliterate right in front of your eyes. It'll crumble. Now, a house doesn't just fall overnight. It starts with the chipping away of the foundation of your life. The Bible says that whenever we stand before God, everything in our life will be laid bare before Him. In other words, what we laid as a foundation for our life. And what we have laid will either be burned up, or God will say, "Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Now enter into your rest." I don't know about you, but I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now enter into your rest." Amen? So, the Bible says, then faith comes by hearing, correct? And hearing from the Word of God. Where there is no Word, there is no faith. See, this thing is simple, really. Because all of our existence as a believer is founded right here in the Word of God. Now, I know I've been beating this drum like crazy about the Word of God, being submissive to the Word of God, being devoured by the Word of God. We sing a song about saturate me now. You know what we need to be saturating ourselves with? The Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that is the very presence of God in our life. Amen? It brings us life. It brings us healing and deliverance. It brings direction to our life. The written Word of God never fails. Amen? It never runs dry. If we lack wisdom, the Bible says we are to ask God, who has abundance in wisdom, and He is gracious enough to give us wisdom. Amen? I hear people all the time, "Well, I don't understand the Word of God." Well, let me ask you another question. How often do you study to try to understand the Word of God? Because it's the Word of God that is the foundation of our faith. It's not worship that's the foundation of our faith. It's not preaching that is the foundation of our faith. It's not your attendance in church that is the foundation of your faith. It's not your emotion that is the foundation of your faith. The foundation of your faith is the Word of God. Because it's His Word expressed to us on how to live and give glory to Him. Amen? It's the word that was given, that God spoke to us today, that prophetic word through Randy. That's what that is, a prophetic word to edify, to build up, to encourage. And it said, what a privilege it is serving God. What a privilege it is knowing God. Amen? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. So that flies in the face of this postmodern world, this postmodern culture that we live in that says, just believe in yourself. Yeah. Believe in yourself. Hey, you know what? That sounds good. Believe in yourself. I tell my son in school when he's having issues with homework or whatever else, hey, listen, you can do it. You can do this thing. There's nothing wrong with saying that. But having faith in yourself will ultimately embarrass you every single time. Because your strength has an end to it. Your wisdom has an end to it. Amen? How many of you guys have dark days where you just don't want to do anything else but stay under the covers? We all have those days. All of us do. So, what's that tell us? That tells us that we can't be ornery enough, right? We're not strong enough. Some of us may think, you don't know me very well. But the truth is, we can't do it by ourselves. We can't have enough faith in ourselves. The Bible says we are supposed to die to ourselves daily. Amen? Paul says we are supposed to die to ourselves daily. And I told the small group the other night, the bad thing about a living sacrifice is sometimes it likes to wiggle off the altar every once in a while. And that is so true. Dying to yourself is very difficult to do, but the Bible says in order for us to live in Christ, in order for us to have abundance of life in Christ, we must die to ourselves. What does that mean? You know, a dead person doesn't have an opinion. You realize that? Somebody dead does not have an opinion. Somebody dead does not have an agenda. Somebody that is dead does not have a plan. Somebody that is dead has no capability of doing anything else because they are submissive to death. And so whenever we become born again, whenever we become believers, we die to ourselves. We no longer have an opinion. We no longer have a plan anymore for our lives because there is a God that has an opinion about our life, and I want to know what His opinion is. Amen? If a high dignitary had an opinion about you, you would want to know what it was, correct? You would want to know anyway if anybody had an opinion about you. But the Creator of the world has an opinion about you. And the only way to know what that opinion is and that plan is to die to yours. And the only way that we can die to ourself and to die to our opinion, our plans, our purposes, our dream, is to first die to Christ, to die to ourselves. Because the Bible says, then we live. Then He raises us up. See, Jesus, when He died, He painted a picture of how we were supposed to die. Jesus at any moment could have called legions of angels to His rescue and says, you know what, that was a good idea, but I don't, you know, I'm done. That's enough. The Bible says He became, in Philippians 2, He says, He became obedient even unto death. The person that created us, that knew us before anyone else, that knitted us and formed us together in our mother's womb, He became obedient to His creation, even unto death. And we as believers need to become obedient unto Him because it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. But until we die to ourselves, take up His word as our guide. Take up His word as our opinion. You know what? If we would use the opinion of the word instead of our own opinion, we'd cause a lot of egg not to be on our face. Amen? How many guys ever had an opinion and it just slapped back on you and it wasn't right? Egg on your face, Some of you have grown accustomed to eating crow. That's just the way it is. I grow accustomed to it every once in a while myself. So sometimes I get phone calls. I don't know about that, Pastor. You know, some things that I say in, behind the pulpit. So now, Romans 8:38 says this. For I am convinced. I am, you can either say convinced or you can say persuaded. Notice he didn't say, for I am pondering. You notice that? Notice he didn't say, for I'm mulling it over. Notice he didn't say, I'm trying to form an opinion, I'm not yet there. But notice he said, I am persuaded. I am convinced. The only way that you can truly be born again is be truly convinced. Now listen, the person that wrote this was fully persuaded about something else prior to this. Paul, who was the great persecutor of the church, did this. He was fully persuaded that what he was supposed to do with his life was to persecute the church, to put into prison every single person that he possibly could. He even was there when the first martyr was killed for the cause of Christ. Can anybody tell me who that was? Stephen. Not only was he there, but he was there in approval. He held the coats of those slinging the rocks. He went around to every town he possibly could. He was diligent. He was just focused on decimating the church. But all of a sudden, on the way to Damascus, he had this come to Jesus moment where he was knocked off his horse and he had an encounter with the Lord. And this encounter changed his entire life. It changed his complete and total outlook on everything. And Paul, when he said in Romans 8:38, for now I am persuaded, I am convinced. He said that neither death nor life, angel or demon, height or depth, or anything else in all creation, be able to separate me. Everybody put your hand right here. Say this, will separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, I am persuaded that nothing in all of creation, how did he come to that knowledge? By coming to the Savior. By coming to know Him. Amen? Now, so what does this shield of faith look like? All right? Now, I told you a little bit about it just a minute ago in Ephesians 6:16. If you would, go ahead and cue that video up that I have about. Does he have that? All right. The shield describes a door that was wide and long. This thing was big, all right? They were not messing around. It was shaped like a big door, okay? And if you go ahead and put the video up, we'll show that. This is a scene from Gladiator. It gets kind of gory after that. Go ahead and hit the lights real quick. Mike, if you'll hit the lights for me, please. Thank you. Now, notice that the soldiers were shoulder to shoulder. Did you notice that? Notice that their shields were out in front of them, able to guard their entire body. And as the enemy threw their darts over to them, shot their arrows at them, they all came together and locked their shields together. And the ones behind them, the soldiers behind them, put the shield over top of them. So the ones in the front knelt down on their knees. The other one came over as a covering. And you see, your faith is the exact same thing. It's a covering for you. God, The Bible says that he has, in Romans 12:3, in accordance to the measure of faith God has given to you, he has given us a measure of faith. Each and every one of you, God has given you a measure of faith. And that shield is big and large, able to put out any dart that the enemy slings at you. Amen? And so what happens is that according to Romans 12:3, it says, in accordance to you, the measure of faith God has given you. All right? So don't ever think that God has not given you enough faith, because he has. In accordance to the faith God has given you. Another cool fact about the shield is that it has six layers. Six layers of animal hide and skin. And it's tightly woven together. That's not the prettiest thing in the world. It's not the parade thing. It's the one that saves your life. Amen? Now, I don't care if it's pretty or not. If it's going to stop arrows, I want it. All right? I don't care what it looks like on the outside. If it's going to stop the enemy, I want it. And so this scene paints a beautiful picture of the church coming together in the face of the enemy and combating the enemy together. Amen? Using our shield of faith, not our faith, not something that we put together, but the faith that God has founded in his word that we now take up and advance toward the enemy. That's this faith that caused David, instead of running backwards at facing Goliath, he ran to Goliath. That's the kind of faith I want, amen? The faith that when provoked in the heat of the battle, we don't go picking a fight, but we don't run from it either. My mom told me I get whooped if I run from a fight. That's what we call. What's what we say in the South? We get whooped. And so that's the way it is. Mom said, don't you ever run from a fight. And so I didn't, and that hurt sometimes. But the thing is that when we link our faith together, when we put our shields side by side, and each and every one of us knows exactly what we're supposed to do, then we know how to combat the enemy and we overcome. Amen? Not by... They really believed and cried out to God, but for whatever reason, it didn't work. And because of it, your faith is damaged. Your shield is cracked. You need the fresh anointing oil of God on it. Trust me, God never fails. His strength never runs out. He never tires, he grows weary. Joshua had his first basketball game or practice yesterday, and he got out there and he started holding the side like this. Oh, hair was just drenched. And he got in the truck and he said, oh man, Dad, I was giving it all I got. I was giving it all I got. And he said, but after about the fourth or fifth trip up and down there, he said, man, my side started hurting. I said, it's because you're out of shape. I love you, but you're out of shape. And I said, son, you have to work at it. That's why you got a little practice. You got to run. You got to do this. And then your endurance will build up. But even youth grow tired and weary. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. Amen? They will walk and not faint. This morning, if you need that anointing of God upon your life, I want you to make your way down here, and we're going to pray that fresh oil of gladness upon your life. That your shield of faith may be lifted up and mended today. Because even the youth grow tired and weary. But those who trust in the Lord, those who have faith, not in themselves, not in their abilities, but those who trust in the Lord, the Bible says will renew their strength. Amen? Let's bow our heads this morning. I want you to remember today, as your head are bowed, remember the devil knows that the mind is a strategic control center for your life. If he can seize your mind, he can then begin to wage war against other parts of you as well. The enemy knows where your strength lies, and he knows where your weaknesses lie. And those who put their trust in the Lord, those who put their faith and trust in the Lord, will begin to stand up in the face of the enemy, in the face of destruction, and to say to that mountain, to be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it will be done unto him. The Bible said, it doesn't say that if you have faith as big as the hills, or if you have faith as big as Texas, you'll say to this mountain. No, the Bible says if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, that's small. Some of you here today just barely got here. Maybe you're struggling. Say, Pastor, I need a fresh touch from the Lord today. Please make your way this morning. Make your way down. As those are coming, if there are some here today, you say, Pastor, I've never heard anything like this. I've never heard this kind of stuff before. You say, I want to know this kind of faith. I want Christ to be in my life, and I want him to be my Lord today. You say, I want to accept Christ. I want him to renew me. If that's you today, I just want you to raise your hand. Say, Pastor, I want to receive Christ today. I want him to be the Lord of my life. I want Jesus to forgive me of my sin. I want my faith to be in him and not me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. I just want you to focus in on the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we come before you and we say we trust you. We trust you, Lord. When all else fails, when everything else seems to be burning around us, Lord, we put our faith in you. The author and finisher of our faith. Lord, may you be glorified in these situations. May my faith be lifted up. May my shield recover as you pour your oil of gladness upon my life again. Let that oil, that anointing oil, bring healing and deliverance to my life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that saturates my life. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.